Welcome everybody to a short little episode of the Everything Horror Podcast, where tonight we're going to throw at you what is on the radar. We have a couple of suggestions, and maybe they're out, maybe they're coming out. Let's see what we can dive into. Before we get into it, I just wanted to quickly do an announcement. We're going to have special guests coming onto our podcast. Their names are Dick, or Richard, as he likes to be known to. But he's the Dick because he's the keeper of all knowledge and facts that are fun. We got Kat and we got Keller, which form the podcast known as Quip Critics. Join us to discuss a movie, and we will be joining them on their podcast sometime in the future to discuss, well, whatever they decide on, because they go from Disney to TV shows to other interesting films, I guess, but they don't really talk about horror as much as like we do. So it'll be interesting to see how the collaboration for that. And I wanted to also do a quick update about Terror Trail 2. Terror Trail 2 will be starting to be filmed starting this past Sunday. As you guys hear this, it will have already been started in developing our last and the second film for Terror Trail. And I can't wait for hopefully this to be finally completed and everything, and get it out there, and it can finally be done after 2 years of being pushed, basically. And this will be the year that it will be out this October. And finally, we have a special guest as well by the name Ken Artuse. Ken, welcome back.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for having me back. Great to hear from you. Hope you're having a great day, week, month, year. See a lot of in real life situations going on out there, but we could always find comfort in a good conversation about horror.
Indeed. Or punching a wall was always nice too, but yeah. No, I don't do that. Maybe punching a pillow would be great, you know? That way you don't have to rush to the hospital for a broken hand. And whatever else.
So. Well, it depends on what type of wall. These days, they build apartments here in New York City with plywood, and I think it's sheetrock. You could just break it with no problem. Back in the hundreds of years ago, you can't punch the wall because they were made out of brick. So, yeah. Well, we digress.
Right. Yeah, and it's just always, I don't know, fascinating and everything, and just like everything is being made now with materials where it's like, what's the easy route of doing this, you know? Like, what's the cheap way of getting it done? Unless you're like my slumlord who really thinks of trying or really tried to make anything easy and doesn't do it right, and then next thing you know, you're trying to go down the stairs, and then next thing you know, one of the stairs gives out, and you almost feel like you're gonna break your ankle or fall over the railing. So, yeah, that's never fun either. So, you know, and on top of that, I just want to throw out there too, because of personal things going on, I don't know when or we're going to see Tessa on again, because she basically moved out of state to try to work on things on finding a better place for us, I guess. But I just don't like the decision and everything else. But that's really nothing to go into details of. But I just wanted to point out, too, that Tessa, it won't be around for a while, it seems like. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So without further ado, Ken, let's just start with you. What's one of the things that you wanted to talk about? What is coming out or has already come out that you would like to talk about?
Well, here's a good scenario, a business scenario. Yes, we got to talk about business here on a horror podcast. How so? Let's say, for example, you have a product and you release your product to the market and it garners a large following. You have comic books and movies, the whole franchise. Everyone loves it. But you're not part of that project anymore for a few years. 2 years pass by, someone else picks up that project as a remake. But you come up with your different project. And it's going to be released almost simultaneously. So we beg the question, if a product that you released before on the market garnered a large following, would that large following go to the remake? Or will they follow the new project that you have in development? Now, that was a long-winded scenario to describe Dead Space. Now, we know Glenn Schofield was behind the original Dead Space. Now he's behind the Callisto Protocol. The Callisto Protocol and the Dead Space remake are going to be released almost at the same time. So where will the community go? Will the diehard fans shift towards the new project? Or will they check out what Dead Space remake has to offer with the whole new team and development and everything?
I personally think they're going to check out both just because of the fact of how much dedication that the new creators are bringing to the table for the remake, which is Motive Studio and Electric Arts, which are the publishers. The engine is Frostbite, and the developer is Motive Studio as well. But I believe, yes. Yeah, okay, I'm looking at the right one. I just wanted to make sure. Honestly, from all the videos that I was watching about this remake, it sounds like they really outdid themselves, honestly, Ken, between remastering the audio, if not making brand new audio for all the guns to make them sound badass, more badass, like everything else looking better, much more gloomier, I guess, on top of adding new things as well, so it's not just the same game with just the, you know, with a slap of the remake title, is what I would say. But from everything that I've seen, even though there really isn't much, because unfortunately they kind of just showed a little gameplay, and even that gameplay was just kind of like a few seconds of them shooting the gun to kind of give you that sound and show you the suit, even of what they did to the suit, which they changed it up a little bit. They made it more polisher. They polished it more. And then I feel like even the environment just looks, I don't know, just looks more brutal looking. Which, what's your thoughts on that? Have you been keeping up with any of those videos?
Yeah, that's the question right there. I enjoy the lore behind Dead Space. I have the books. I have the comic books. I've seen both movies. And it's just fascinating how everything was developed. Now, we're not going to go into how the franchise went belly up, but the lore is nice. That's what attracts me. Now, the Callisto Protocol, I'm not going to say it's the same, but it's the same genre. Same space type of creatures, survival horror. And it has its differences. Now, you're right. People would favor both if they're horror fans of survival horror and everything else. But I'm leaning towards the Callisto Protocol. I want to see what new lore is added to the whole mix. Because we already know what happens in Dead Space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn, actually. But I'm favoring more the Callisto Protocol.
Okay. What I've seen and heard about the Callisto Protocol, this sounds more intense than Dead Space even was. There's more hand-to-hand combat, from what I understand, against other people's hands, or if not a tentacle, as they put it. So what does that mean? Like, do we even have a gun to fight back? Are we, do we have maybe a gun a little bit? Like now it really makes me wonder of what they're, how they're trying to vamp up and possibly put survival horror maybe to the next level, you know?
Exactly. But the way that, from the footage I've seen on YouTube, it seems like it's going the straight path of limited weapon. But of course, this is what we're going by video. Limited mm-hmm. weapons, survival horror, and I'm guessing you either fight these creatures or trying to run away from them, just like in Dead Space.
Right, but every now and then, though, you had to have a combat system, obviously, if something jumped at your face. But most of the time, you could literally, though, aim and kind of sidewalk around a corner, if not, you know, checking out a door. At least get close enough to open the door so you can kind of pan the room right before, you know, you have to step in the room far enough so that it triggers that next piece of action, I guess I'm going to say. Like, I remember the part where you step into a room and it has to be a specific amount of steps, and then they walk you in the room, and then you have two of those creatures that basically put their needle mouth into your forehead and bring you back to life, basically. Like, redirect your corpse, I guess. Or reanimate would be the better term, I think. But, you know, there was two of those fuckers. And I remember, like, there was a lot of dead body, too. And you were like, oh, shit, you know? Like, I gotta kill these assholes. So, that was just fun.
Yeah. I'm reading the whole synopsis for the Callisto Protocol. So the protagonist is at a prison set in 2000. Wait, how do you say that? The year 2320. There we go. So he's at a prison. Connolly, he wakes up, and there is an alien invasion that appears to have been engineered by the prison's warden. You, right away, you know what that reminds me of? That video game, The Suffering, that the convict wakes up in the jail and had all these demons in the facility.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that almost sounds like Dead Space 2 again, like the opening of it, where Isaac Clarke is having that nightmare.
Right.
And as he's getting checked out through the, with the doctor's appointment, I will just say, for the thing here, that's when that doctor is then grabbed from behind and gets turned into the creature because that thing got him. So then now, within this nightmare, you have to run as Isaac away from the, you know, the quote alien invasion. Before he wakes up in his apartment.
Oh, right. Yes, 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 yes. I remember that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's what that part just reminded me of.
Right. But I see there's a parallel. There's a parallel, but it's something completely different. And like I said, will diehard fans of Dead Space keep going towards the remake, or will they go with Glenn Schofield's new vision, new imagination?
Honestly,
it's a tough decision here.
Honestly, I find myself like I definitely want to check out both. I'm not gonna lie, because of the fact of like what Ken just said is with Callisto Protocol, it's something different. So I'd love to see what the original director of Dead Space brought to the table for this one with his team. However, though, I would love to see what the new team did with Dead Space Remake, just because, like I was mentioning, they did a lot of stuff. They completely redid all the audio, all the animations, like everything. And they also added new element to the game, so it's not the same game as we originally played. So there will be new stuff aboard this. And they've already said that there's no microtransaction for this Dead Space Remake as well.
Yeah, we could, and now we're going into the territory of what killed, in my opinion, a very good franchise. Yes.
Yeah, yes. The microtransactions. Yeah.
Not even a microtransaction, but the action. You just eliminated the whole structure of survival horror to give unlimited, practically high powered weapons, unlimited ammo. What is this? But and compare that to part one, where you had limited weapon ammo. You had a good arsenal, but you had to choose. Can you run through them? There were some scenes you couldn't, of course. But if you have 5 bullets and this guy takes 4, now you're left with 1 bullet. Then you got to get to the next level. How you going to figure this out?
So you bring up a very interesting thing, Ken. So this almost wants me to say The Evil Within, the first one anyway. Like, when we get to the sadist boss in The Evil Within, you know, that is one hard-ass boss. One thing I've actually liked about Evil Within 2 is at one point with one of the bosses, you could actually use the environment against the boss. And what I mean by that is Laura, I believe that's her name. I'm going off of memory here, so if I'm wrong, well, I guess I'm wrong. Anyway, Laura is the what I call the spider creature lady, and everybody remembers her. We can never forget her. But there's one part in the game where you can run around and use the environment where you climb up this ladder and you wait for her to come up the ladder too, which was now behind you. And if you rush to the outer side in time and pull the lever, you can basically make her fall down into the fiery pit and lock her in. So you don't have to waste your own ammo. Now, I'd like to hear your take, Ken, but do you feel like some of these survival horror games have eliminated that aspect of using the environment?
Yes. And this is what I'm hoping for with the Callisto Protocol. That you have to make strategic decisions to conserve your ammo, whether it's running away or using the environment in order to survive. Because, hello, survival horror, survive, hello. It's not Rambo horror that you could shoot anything. No, this is called survival horror for a reason.
What? You're telling me I can't have my light machine gun and like start blasting enemies away? What? Man, I want a refund.
Those games are fun. Don't get me wrong. Those type of games are fun. But if you want to sit down, turn off the lights, and put the headphones on or the speakers, whatever you have, and then scream like a little girl every time something jumps out at you, these are the type of games I like to play. Get the hair standing up. You don't know what's going on. Palms sweating. Yeah, those... Come on.
That's the good old days.
That, exactly.
Now, so there's a game, Ken. I don't know if you've heard of it or know much about it, but it's called Returnal. I just want to first ask, have you heard of that? Returnal?
No, I have not heard of it. What a quick search.
All right, so while you're doing that, let me explain a little bit. So this is a sci-fi based game where you crash landed on this planet thing, and you are a female that has to basically survive these enemies. However, though, each time you die, not only do you lose all your progress and all the weapons you've collected, but the environment changes. So, basically, it's like, this looks so good and a new way of looking at sci-fi, but they brought that whole, like, you need to complete this in one life.
Wow. No wonder, I just read it said it received mixed reviews. I would get frustrated personally. First of all, when you play a game like that, you gotta go straight into it, maybe on easy mode, figure out where everything is at, then you gotta play it again on medium mode and you do better.
Yeah,
but I could see the frustration if you're trying to play it on the first go and you keep die and you got to do everything all over again. But still, it's a unique concept. It's like those time loop movies that I despise dearly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, after I realized that, I kind of got pissed that I spent $70 on this game, or actually a little bit more than that.
70?
Jeez. Yeah, because of PS5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, thank the PS5, it bumped up $10, basically. So, because of the, quote, better graphics, but, or whatever. But, I mean, some games, I can definitely tell the difference between the PS5 and the PS4 version. A good example would be, like, Life is Strange. That's a really good example of the PS4 and PS5 version. And that's one thing I also like is with games as well nowadays, and I think Callisto Protocol might be doing the same thing, is you can pre-order the game, you can also get the PS4 version and the PS5 version. I loved when they do that. But, you know, because of Returnal, though, Ken, it almost makes me skeptical now to even waste, what to say, $70 to $90, because if I want that digital deluxe edition, it's like, well, is it worth it for me to spend, you know, that much?
Right. Yeah, because you have to justify the value of what your purchase is.
Yeah. And then when you get it, and I kind of wish PlayStation would like Steam, where if you don't play it in 2 hours, or if you don't have a gameplay limit, logged hours of 2 hours, you can get your refund, 100% back money. What I hate about PlayStation is their policy basically is you cannot download that pre-order. So that's the only way you can get your refund back, if you do not let your system automatically start downloading the game. Because as soon as that game starts downloading, your refund is out the door. You're not going to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why before I purchase a game, I see the reviews and I wait for the price to go down. That's first of all, because man, a shilling, 80, 70 bucks a pop, that's No. The way the economy is right now, no. Oh, so no. I wait.
The economy is definitely horrible right now. But yeah, so you wait.
Yeah, I wait. I read the reviews. Sometimes when new games come out, there are bugs.
Yes.
But that influences the price point. Because we've purchased in our household games that had bugs. And the price reduced to like $20 or $30. Then the bugs are fixed. And guess what happens? They jack up the price to the original price. Hey, I come out winning because nobody told you to lower the price in the first place that dramatically just because it's got bugs. Fix it. Put an update. That's it.
Are you talking about the Cyberpunk 2077?
Oh, yeah. That's one of them. And we got the game. It had its bugs, but you know what? We'll deal with that for the price. Come on, I'd rather spend $20 on a game, new, brand new, than $60. And that's how much we paid, $20. And they put the update, they fixed everything, and then they jacked up the price to $55, I think it was. Hey, we came out winning.
That's true. That's very true. That's why sometimes I like to wait for Black Friday even, because sometimes you get some pretty good deals there. Like I got Ratchet and Clank a long time ago when they first brought it back to the PS4. I think it was just called Ratchet and Clank. I don't think there was anything else to that title, but like I waited. And next thing you know, I got it for $10 for Black Friday.
Yeah. And especially with games like you want to play it, but you're unsure, you're hesitant, you don't want to make that commitment. It's like marriage. You're getting married to a video game, especially a horror title. Yep. You don't know if it's going to scare you or not. So you're like, okay, let me see how this is. Okay, whatever. You have to make better purchasing choices more so now than before. That's why if I'm given a choice, buy one, Dead Space Remake or Callisto, I'm going with Callisto. It's new idea, new environment, new gameplay, new everything. And plus, the guy has a great vision. Glenn Schofield has great vision with horror. I'll go with that one. That doesn't say maybe when Dead Space Remake goes down in price, I won't get it. Of course I will. But I'm leaning more towards the other side. Just to get more bang for my buck.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I will touch on that as well by saying, yeah, Callisto Protocol definitely got my attention a lot. Because, which also state as well, Ken, that Callisto Protocol comes out December 2nd, 2022. While the Dead Space Remake comes out January 27th, 2023. So, basically a little over a month apart. So, you got to look at it like this as well. New experience, or a game that I've sort of played, but just has some new element to it. You know? So, in this case, I would say Callisto Protocol definitely had my attention more than Dead Space, unfortunately, because I feel like I've already played Dead Space, so I don't need to spend full price again.
But one thing that I was just thinking about right now, if the success for Callisto Protocol is what it would come out to be, maybe that itself will create a franchise on its own, and it'll bridge out and spread out just like Dead Space did with graphic novels and movies and all that stuff. I'm thinking we haven't seen that lately. We haven't seen that success over the past few years. And no, don't even put Resident Evil into the mix. No, that's no.
I wouldn't even gonna put that crap in there. But
no. But
I think what I was trying to say is, well, that's kind of the thing now, Ken, though. It's like they make games more challenging in a way where it really takes the players out. Like Returnal, the game I'm talking about here, where basically you have to beat this game in like one life. but I don't know how long the game is. But you got to also remember, if you die, everything you've collected is now gone and the environment changes. So it's not like you can get familiar with each map, because there's quite a lot of different environments. Like every time you open up what I'm going to call the front gate, after you have to get out of your stupid ship again and see that cutscene like 5 million times, it feels like. But, you know, once you pick up your pistol, because that's the starting weapon they give you, the goddamn pistol, you know, you basically now have to basically ask yourself, okay, does this look familiar to me, to the point where will it actually connect to this area that I know? And half of the time, no. It is completely different every time. So where you thought you picked up this machine gun, for the example, now that's no longer there. Now it's placed in a different area. So now you have to go through these harder areas just to get this submachine gun.
Wow.
And you have a pistol.
I like it already.
I like it already. Yeah, I'll drink to that.
it's a good concept. I would not get frustrated. I think I will, but it's a good concept. I like that concept.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But you just mentioned the release dates for Dead Space, and that is super close.
Wow. It really is. Wow. And I wonder why they did that. I wonder, is it like what we're talking about, right, Ken?
Exactly. What's exactly it?
What's the successor? What's going to come out the top?
Exactly. It's a business perspective. It's a business. It's a very tactical. It's like Xbox and PlayStation. Who releases which console first? It's a tactical business move. They know whose diehard followers would either go with Schofield for his vision or Dead Space for the lore. It's a toss-up right here. Yeah. And I'm interested to see how the sales will go. Just to find and prove a point, if you create a good enough product,
mm-hmm.
will people follow the product or will people follow you? That's the question right there.
Yeah, that is a good question. All right, so real quick, while we're on the topic here of Callisto Protocol, I just want to also state this as well. I'm going to look up Dead Space in a minute, but right now you can actually pre-order the Callisto Protocol. So they have for... And this is what I'm going off. I don't know any other sites right now. I'm assuming it will be the same price, but so this is what we got. So PS4 version, we have the standard day one edition for $60. Okay. That's basically the normal price of a PS4 game. Now we got Callisto Protocol, the digital Deluxe edition for $80 for the PS4. So now for the PS5 version, for both the day one edition regular and the digital deluxe, just add another $10 to what I just said.
And it all boils down, if you could afford it, go for it. If you're pinching pennies,
if you want to risk it, do it.
If you're pinching pennies, go for the basics, I tell you.
What I find interesting, actually, Ken, PlayStation, you cannot pre-order the Dead Space remake yet. Very interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. I'm not seeing it, and... I'm going to take a look at Steam as well. But yeah, is there anything else you wanted to touch on with Callisto Protocol and Dead Space. And I just want to also add, since you keep mentioning the lore for Dead Space, I've only had the chance to read two books, and that is the trade paperback of Dead Space called Martyrs, which is hard as shit to find now. And I don't know where my copy went, unfortunately, and that saddens me. And then we also had that one Dead Space comic that is now drawn a blank on me. But if I saw the cover, I could tell you that was it. Unfortunately.
Well, it's right behind me. Let me take a moment to turn around. I have Martyrs. Let's see. Where's the comic? One moment. This is in my bookcase.
I think it's called Salvage.
Where are you at? Where are you at?
That sounds right to me. Yeah, Martyrs.
Salvage.
Yes, Salvage. Yep, Salvage is the one that I actually have. I've actually seen on my bookshelf, but I don't know what the hell happened to my copy of Martyrs, which makes me sad because I tried looking up to see how much it would be to replace, and oh goodness gracious.
How much is it?
Anywhere between like 40 to fucking 60, depending on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's a collectible item right now.
No. The action figures are the collectible items, which to this day, I'm still kicking myself in the ass.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I saw them on the shelf at Toys R Us in Times Square. When
Toys R Us was in Times Square. Toys R Us had Dead Space.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I really just wanted to make sure I really heard you. Like, of all stores, Toys R Us. Wow.
They had Isaac Clarke. They had the Necromorph. And at that time, I was like, that's okay. I'm not going to pick it up. And I bought something else. Huge mistake. Huge.
Okay. Now, was this for the first game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What a huge mistake then. Yeah. Huge mistake. Yep.
So I'm kicking myself in the ass because I see the prices of these action figures now. I'm like, oh, God.
Yep. Yeah. I was lucky to get two of them from eBay, but unfortunately, they're from Dead Space 2. So it's not even from the original game, but I do have Isaac Clarke. And I have the Necromorph Slasher from Dead Space.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But I do have the books. I have the art of Dead Space.
Oh, yep. The other one I have as well.
Oh, man.
That was really good. The art, that was really good.
But this is what I'm talking about. Each story, because they had a Dead Space 4... your mobile, then they had a Dead Space for the Nintendo Wii.
Was the hacking game. Yep. Yes. And then that was the that weird like House for the Dead type game that you're talking right about.
Yeah. And then they had Salvage, which is the graphic novel, but each story just ties into the whole lore, and the religion is tossed into it, and it's just amazing story. Amazing. Well put together story. Planets, mm-hmm. ships, characters. Now, since we're on the topic of story, that whole love affair type thing that was happening, I think it was part 3, it was just idiotic. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to see that. We want to see something different. But I don't know what the hell was going on there. I felt like I was watching a soap opera with Dead Space. Jesus Christ. But yeah,
I will at least say I enjoyed my time with Dead Space 3 when you had a co-op partner.
Yeah, it made things faster.
Not just that, but as you played your partner's side stories, because the only time you can is if you had a co-op partner. I think partners can see some fucked up things, as I may say. And one of my favorite stories is when we went through this hallway at the gate open, I'll just say, or the doors, so it opened. I'll never forget the part where these huge nutcrackers are on both sides of the room, and they're just staring at you. Meanwhile, I'm like trying to talk to my friend, and I'm like, "Hey, you see this, right? Like, you see these giant nutcrackers like just staring at us or staring at me?" And my friend thought I was like going crazy, like loopy. And I want to say they did that on purpose to make it sound like your friend is going loopy, because why these random nutcrackers? But then as you go along with the story of what's going on with Isaac's partner, like, you know, there's really a little bit more darker story to it. And, you know, that's the other thing. It's like, at one point when Isaac is getting ambushed and Isaac's partner is doing his own action sequence, as I'm going to say, your partner's character's body is staying still. Meanwhile, your friend is probably yelling at you because you're not doing anything but standing there on his side of the screen. But really, you're yelling back at him and saying, "What do you think I'm doing? I'm trying to stay alive in this realm because they're trying to kill me here." So,
exactly.
So, in a way, it was a fun time to have your friendship be destroyed. Really.
Yeah.
And, just because it was just that fun. But yeah, it was so after we beat it the first time together, he swapped it so he could see what I was seeing, and then he finally understood of why you know, my body was staying still and the giant nutcrackers and weird ass giant presence and stuff like that, from what I recall. And so he was finally understanding. So it was nice to, you know, it's to see that type of perspective in a game, which we don't even see that anymore. Like that psychological, mental state of some partner that makes you loopy with your co-op friend, and then you're yelling at each other. Those are the good days.
Yeah. Those are the good days, I tell you. And that's because survival horror has gone the way of action survival horror. And let's just stay tuned. Hopefully, these new video games will stay true to what survival horror is all about. That's the fact.
Yes. Limited ammo. Combat with your hands sometimes, and it would be nice to use the damn environment.
Right. And of course, don't forget solving the occasional puzzles.
That too. Well, that's always there. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It's kind of like, you know, Silent Hill 2. It was a nice mixture of puzzles and combat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's why Silent Hill 2 is one of my all-time favorites in the franchise. I mean, Silent Hill 3 was fun, but like once you unlock the OP gun in for Silent Hill 3, you can just plow through that in like an hour and a half, 2 hours. It was fun. Right.
Well, something to look forward to for next year. I think I purchased the wrong console. I had to get a PlayStation instead of an Xbox, but let's see what happens.
You mean you got an Xbox instead of a PlayStation?
Yeah, because that was the only thing that was available at that time.
Well, you should have waited, damn it.
You're telling me. Bad investment. Bad investment.
Well, you don't even play it, really, right?
I'm trying to become a better gamer.
Well, hey, at least you're honest.
And it's games that I've played before that I can't play anymore. And it's because of this whole Vertigo nonsense. I'm like, no.
Oh, just reminded me of another game now. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, Vertigo is not fun for anybody that has it. And I feel bad for them because they definitely miss out on some great things. Unfortunately, that's just, the sadness about it.
Yeah. So dizzy spells and nausea and your whole equilibrium, you feel like you're going to tilt over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a game that I like, I just suck it up and I go through it.
Hey, whatever works for you, man. That's the way I would look at it.
Exactly. Because we all need our pastimes. And my pastime sometimes, I want to play a video game.
There you go.
Hey. I'd rather control the character in the video game than to sit for 2 hours watching a plot unfold in a movie.
Oh, geez.
There's no interaction.
No, not really. Unless you're in the interaction movies where you can actually choose your own adventure kind of thing. Those are always fun.
So that's why I prefer these video games. Plus, whenever you have a creative drought, and I know for those creatives out there that are listening and it happens, whether you're a writer, painter, whatever, and you have that wall that you hit and you want an outlet, my outlet is video games. And then all of a sudden you see the creativity starts coming back and you go back to work.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm going to touch on a game if you're done. I'm not sure if you have anything else more to say, but I just want to make sure I don't step on your toes if you are not done yet. So.
No, I think we covered all the bases here. We went in various directions on the topic of Dead Space versus the Callisto Protocol.
Yeah. All right. So my last question to this, Ken, and this can kind of go, I guess, with anything, any other game in this case, but so what is your opinion on the prices being the same price between buying it on physical to digital version? Do you feel like it should stay the same price, or do you feel like a digital copy of the game should actually be less? Only because it's not like you have a physical disc and a physical box for it.
It's a great question. Now, with my new found appreciation on creating 3D art, I know what these developers, I'm not a developer, I just create 3D art. And the time just to create a character and the environment and the rendering, it's insane. So imagine you programming, designing, environment, lighting. That's what you're paying for. You basically for movies, maybe not, but for here, you're actually paying for all that labor. So even if the price is the same, that's what you're paying for. That content, that work behind it. It's a lot of work, let me tell you. I have a newfound appreciation of what these guys do. It's like, wow. And now when I watch a video game, I'm like, oh, they created this scene doing this, and oh, your eyes is open. Yeah, 100%. It's worth every penny.
All right. Well, I remember back in the day when me and a couple friends were discussing this topic, we basically were thinking it would probably be nice if it was at least $10 difference, just because of the fact that it, if I wanted it physically, yes, I will pay that extra $10 to have it in a, with a disc in that box. But since it's digital, it's almost like, well, there's no box, so why not just knock off $10? But I mean, right. I see what you're saying as well. So it really, it depends on the platform that you buy it on, because obviously I'm not a professional at this, so I do not know how much any developer or publisher makes between the different platforms. Example, if the game is on Steam, maybe they give their, you know, the indie creators, like, let's just say, this is just for the example, like a 25% of the cost, we're to say, right? They give them, like, for, like, how much they can make. Maybe they charge, like a 25, or not charge, but maybe they give, like, 25%. But then when it comes to PlayStation, let's just say, same game, what if PlayStation now only pays, like, 10%? Who's getting screwed? Right.
Yeah. But it's always those who put the hardest labor who gets paid the less. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe not. But in the case of musicians get paid peanuts in comparison to everybody else. That's why musicians have to go on tour in order to get their revenue. So maybe the same thing applies with the video games, that those who put in the real work get paid less, because you have to pay the publisher, you have to pay this, you have to pay the marketing, you have to everything else. By the time those $60 go down to the content creator, it'll probably be like $10 or something. You never know. Because there's so many hats involved. So many.
The reason why I say that is because there's this company by the name Artifact Monday who make these hidden object games. They finally were bringing their games over to consoles. However, at one point, they actually bumped up the price on consoles by $5 because they were not making back their money. And that's why I said the question is, how much do these platforms actually pay these creators for every purchase?
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so, going off what you said about Vertigo, Ken, I don't know if you heard about this as well, but it is on Steam. I've heard rumors it's supposed to come to consoles, but I don't know anything. I just know it's on Steam. However, everybody here knows the amazing talent of Alfred Hitchcock, and this developer, Penduel, I believe it's Penduel Studio. I think that's how you pronounce it. P-E-N-D-U-L-L-O. They made a game based off of Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo.
Why?
And the synopsis of this is, can you trust your own mind? Immerse yourself in a psychological thriller of a new kind, playing with the limits between reality and fantasy, freely inspired by Alfred Hitchcock universe.
That's interesting. Not for nothing. That sounds interesting.
Yes. And it's an original story about obsession, manipulation, and madness. It also has a with a powerful narrative experience paying tribute to the visual and storytelling techniques of the thriller genre. You also can investigate through the vision of three characters. Everyone has a different story to tell.
Wait a second. That sounds like that new video game with those actors. Oh my gosh. It's a choose your own adventure.
You talking about The Quarry?
Yeah.
The Quarry is actually the remake of Until Dawn.
No.
Yep. Yep. That was actually one of the games that I was actually going to talk about. So since we're on The Quarry for a minute. The Quarry is a 2022 interactive drama horror video game developed by Supermassive Games and published by 2K Games. Players assume control of 9 teenage counselors who must survive their last night at Hackett's Quarry summer camp amongst supernatural creatures and violent locals.
Hmm.
It's they have told us that it is a basically a Resident Evil reboot, remake, whatever you want to call it. I think I remember the word remake. They basically almost have the same people from the original game, but there is some new faces. And one of them is Lance, who played Bishop from the Alien series. We also have Lin Shaye in it. We also have another known actor, which his name is escaping me right now, so god damn it. But everybody knows him, who plays the counselor, like one of the main counselor leaders, I'm going to say. His name is seriously escaping me, and it's not... like, not what I want, because I cannot think of his name right now, unfortunately. And it's kind of pissing me off, because I know his name, and it's frustrating me. But yes, basically they wanted to make a different type of Until Dawn, so they and basically, like, you know... brought him back. Ah, David. Oh God, I can't even think of his. I can't even ever pronounce this guy's name. Everybody knows Dave, the actor David from the Scream franchise.
Oh, you see, I wasn't even gonna go to IMDb. I was gonna let you sweat it out. But yeah. I see it now. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. He played Chris Hackett in the Quarry. So it's very, very nice. And you know, there's some new faces as well. And there's also some returning people that have definitely, like, you know, have seen probably better days as well. Like the girl that we all hated in the original Until Dawn, who played Emily, is even back. And it looks like she's actually playing a funny character, not one that you're gonna hate, but I could be wrong because I haven't played it yet, and that's why I'm suggesting it to myself. It is on my radar.
Yeah, these choose your own adventure games is fun too. I like them.
Yeah, I don't mind them. Another fun game to play if you have a co-op partner and you want to yell at each other is We Are Here. That franchise.
Oh sure. Yes, yeah.
That is so fun to yell at each other. Will you please get that valve? I'm going to drown if you don't get it. Yeah. Well, you just
but going back to the Vertigo, yeah. I was just watching the trailer. It's got that bright, cartoony feel to it. There's nothing too dark about it. Interesting.
Yeah, to touch on that too, Ken, is I almost felt like that cartoon feeling almost reminded me of Telltale Games.
Yes. That's the feeling, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because, honestly, that's who I thought would develop in it, was Telltale. And then I saw a different company, so I was like, damn, that comes really close to, you know, Telltale's graphics.
Right. Which is nothing wrong with the graphics. I like the graphics from Telltale Games. I like it.
Yes. I mean, that might be one down the road that I'll definitely check out. I know right now it's on Steam only, but I'm hoping maybe we will get a chance to see it come to consoles.
Right. Yeah. It's, I like this. It's different cons. This is what we need, a resurgence of horror games, which horror video games have been doing much better than horror films in general. That's a different topic, but,
yeah.
Whoa, that opens up a whole can of worms there. But yeah, there's so many good things right now on the market, in development, sci-fi. You mentioned that sci-fi one. That was pretty good. I was checking out the trailer too while you were describing it. I like the graphics. Oh my gosh, everything looks so real. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just downloaded, I think it was 2 weeks ago, for $5 on the marketplace, I downloaded Rockstar Games Manhunt.
Manhunt. Oh, yes.
Oh, man. Why? I'm telling you, with the graphics that we have now, why are these guys still focusing on Grand Theft Auto? You have Manhunt right there. Create a good stealth horror game. Oh, man. That would be awesome.
Unfortunately, Grand Theft Auto is too popular.
Yeah, they don't see... Well, I don't know. Back then, there was so much controversy of Manhunt.
Oh, yeah.
But now, it was too much. But now, since things have become more eased, and there's a lot more gore, and people don't bat an eye, maybe Manhunt will
have succeed now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, look at going off of Manhunt. Look at what happened with Manhunt 2. Do we even talk about that game? Because I don't.
That trash. Trash. Once again, they messed up survival horror by putting action.
Not just that, but you put in a weak main character that basically froze up out of time.
That's no good. But yeah, that's something I would like to see. That's something I'll pay. I was talking about price earlier. I would pay full price for that one.
All right. Speaking of which, Ken, so what do you got next?
For the topic? Oh, you got me. That was the topic that I had. That was my topic.
Well, what would your next thing that you were looking forward to? Or that you've seen or whatever?
Well, the word on the grapevine is this new film. It's called The Black Phone, which I seen it. I'm not going to spoil it, or maybe I will. I don't know how devious I feel at this moment. But it is a really good film. It's not a horror film, ladies and gentlemen. It's a mystery film with sprinkles of the supernatural. Barely sprinkles. Think of it as an ice cream, and you get three sprinkles instead of the whole ice cream dipped in sprinkles. You only get three of them. That's it. That's what you're getting. So it's mostly a mystery.
Hmm. Well, Black Phone is about Finney Shaw, is a shy but clever 13-year-old boy who's being held in a soundproof basement by a sadistic mask killer. When a disconnected phone on the wall starts to ring, he soon discovers that he can hear the voices of the murderer's previous victims, and they are dead set on making sure that what happened to them doesn't happen to Finney.
Okay. That's the plot? On what, IMDb?
Google.
You know what? They pretty much said they described the whole movie right there. That's it. The only thing that's missing is the ending. That's it. Save your money, read that, and that's it. You're done. That's what the movie's about.
When, you know what's sad? Is reading that kind of makes me go back to the episode that me and Tessa did called The Call, which had Wen Shea in it and Tobin Bell. We were looking forward to that movie. What a shame. And now reading this, it's like, wait a minute. Have I seen this movie before?
Yeah.
I mean, it's different, but it involved a phone and it involved the supernatural.
Right. But like I said, but in this film, the supernatural is hardly an issue. There's other factors involved with the supernatural. That's one of them, but there's something else. And you're like, okay, can I get some more information, please? Why do I have to wait till the third act, now that the movie's practically over, to figure out why is this so important?
Because they want you to keep you on your toes.
Probably. But not to say the movie's no good. It's good. It's good. It's different. It's refreshing. You see,
new actors.
Ethan Hawke plays a good role. And if you haven't noticed, Ethan Hawke is becoming more villainous lately.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing a good job.
Yeah. I mean, this one is also on my list, and just in case you didn't hear me, but I was asking, so would you recommend this, should I wait to pick up a physical copy to support that way, or should I, you know, rent it on some platform?
Ugh.
Or see it in the movie theaters, I guess, because it is in the theaters.
I would say rent it on a platform. It's a platform movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I wouldn't go to the movies for this one.
All right, then.
But that begs the question. I don't consider any horror movie lately movie theater quality. Everything's been either PG-13... or B movie quality.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, I don't know where I'm trying to go with it, but it's like nowadays with everything going up, it's like, do you really want to spend like $20 for a movie that you just hope you don't hate?
Exactly. And what COVID taught us is, why go to the movies anyway? You could stay at home and watch the movie on a streaming service.
Yeah, the only catch to that, though, is in some cases, they've now started to kind of slowly get away from this, but they kind of were forcing people to not just rent it, but you had to buy it.
Right. To make their money.
Yes. So they were making sure they were getting back their money somehow, whether it means you have to buy it right then and there or you have to wait.
Yeah. But this brings the case when I think it was Spielberg and Glenn Close, when they were bitching that Netflix should not get an award for their films because it's not in the movies. Then all of a sudden COVID happened. And who was getting award nominations? Oh, I don't know. Streaming services, because movies were closed. So All these people that were protesting have no say, because if it wasn't for streaming, the movie industry would be dead. Dead, dead, dead. So let's go back to the streaming. I think movie theaters is obsolete. We have 4K TVs in our house. Some of us have surround systems in our house. Come on. If you want to go to get a hot dog, you could just go to your kitchen.
It's cheaper.
It is. And not only that, there's some features that, of course, COVID introduced this too. You could have watch parties. So somebody could be in the next state and you could watch it there. Come on.
Yeah. There's a cut to that, though. You have to all rent it, the same movie, though.
Yeah, but still, that's the only way these guys could get paid for their art, of course. Yes. I would support that from the comfort of my home.
I remember when, I think this was during COVID as well, or maybe it was 2019, actually. I'm for the record, I'm just going to say 2019. So I remember when the latest Puppet Master came out, The Little Witch Who Rich, Fangoria and some other company were doing a promotion and a watch party through Twitter that you could actually buy the Puppet Master, The Little Witch Rich, for $1, just so you can join the Twitter watch party.
Well, that's one way of making the money,
I guess. I mean, after that watch party was over, that's when they bumped up the price to, you know, what you would expect to see on any other movie that digitally to buy, which is like $20, I believe it was. But yeah, when I saw that, to rent it for $1 or buy it for $1, I just said, screw it, and I'm buying it. Because what's the point? If it's the same amount, then you might as well own it, right? Even if it is shitty.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, The Little Witch Rich kind of disappointed me. It almost felt like I was rewatching, The Cult of Chucky.
Oh my gosh. Oh no. No, you didn't bring that up.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, that fucking movie. But anyway, but yeah, that's what it sort of reminded me of. It was almost like, I don't want to say rip off, but it was just literally just change some things around between Cult of Chucky and The Little Witch Rich for Puppet Master, and it's basically the same goddamn movie. It's really sad. It really was. I think I did a review on it as well, so you guys are more than welcome to go to our website at ehpodcast, that is ehpodcast.com. Check out our reviews, and I'm pretty sure Puppet Master The Little Witch Rich is on there, and you will see what I mean, because I literally did a comparison between The Cult of Chucky and The Little Witch Rich. I did. Because I was like, what the hell? Gosh. Yeah.
No way. But wait. We digress. Black Phone. Good film. Not horror quality to what horror should be. But I don't see on the calendar any horror movie that is good. Ooh, wow, this is something to look forward to. It's nothing. It's a drought. I'm waiting for a good... I love infection movies. I love them. Now, the difference between infection and zombies, we know 28 days later, that's infection. They're not zombies. Zombies is Dawn of the Dead. Now, I'm waiting for a good one. And no World War Z. Not, that was just garbage. No, I'm waiting
for... You must like Cabin Fever.
Eh.
Yeah, okay.
Eh, It was funny.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. In a very sadistic way, it was funny. But no, I like some grimy, suspenseful infection. And you know who's been showing the really good ones? Netflix.
Oh?
Alive. That's one of them. What's the other one with the school children? We Are Here, We Are In Here, something like that.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That one was good. Oh, I just saw one the other day. Holy crap. That thing was crazy. Oh, this boy. Is an infected. I think it was Korean. So they're infected, but they become sexual deviants. And they rape and batter their victims. Oh, man. And one scene in particular is crazy. The guy rapes the girl's eye socket.
What?
Yes. Yes. But of course, they don't show it. But let your imagination work in that scenario. I'm like, what the hell am I watching here? Oh, man. That was a good one. It was a good one. Mm-hmm. The gore factor. The gore. Come on. You know, the Asian market, no holds barred. They go all out when it comes to gore.
Oh, yes. They're not ashamed of it at all. And you know what? Speaking of like gore and like mysterious psychological stuff, I will have to throw out the movie Incident in a Ghostland. If anybody likes that director's work, I can never say his name right. It's Pablo, and then I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But he's known for the original French Martyrs. He's known for his, as far as I know, his only English film called The Tall Man. And a couple others as well. And his shit is redonkulous. And Incident in a Ghostland is just that much more disturbing as well. It's because of the idea behind that one.
Whoa, I gotta check this out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. It's like I find it disturbing in the way of how they presented that film, I guess. And then, like, what I like about his work is the twist that he brings, which makes me want to go back and watch his other film called House of Voices. I haven't seen that one yet, but that one was before Martyrs. So it makes me wonder what House of Voices is like.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
House of Voices. All right, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, his name is Pablo. I just never can pronounce his last name. So, yeah, there's that. If you look up the French version Martyrs or the Tall Man or some other title that I suggested, you will find his name as the director and writer, I believe. So he's not that hard. Now, there's one movie I know Ken has seen. I have yet to see, so I'm curious. So it's the dash cam. This movie is very misleading with the title alone, from what I've read. And why they call it dash cam, I'm not sure. I guess the director did write out a statement. Basically saying why it's called dash cam, but I have not gotten a chance to read it. But just to, you know, read the short little synopsis: two friends embark on a horror-fueled road trip and wife dream the most terrifying night of their life. Right there in that title alone, how does the dash cam wife dream? Because most of the time, from what I saw, it's on a fucking phone. And then what makes no sense of this movie is that they're in an area that's supposed to have no service, but yet there's somehow still able to be connected to the stream? I am confused.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, me either. But, Ken, isn't this one that you actually watched?
Dash cam? No, I don't think so.
No? Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of something else then. But yeah, dash cam looks interesting. I'm hearing a lot of mixed reviews. And the director was Rob Savage, who also wrote dash cam. Rob Savage is also known for Shudder's original called Host, if anybody remembers that one, which involved the webcams, I believe, through the computer. Everybody loved Host. Now with Dashcam, not so much. It seems like it's bouncing all over the place with mixed reviews. However, I'll just say I will at least want to. I still want to check it out. Just like I have to get around to watching Host, and I still haven't seen it, which is sad, and I own it. But yeah, that's a different story.
It happens. It happens.
Oh yeah.
But I'm trying. While you were discussing, I'm trying to find that zombie movie that I was talking about.
Okay. Well,
where the hell did I see it at? Anyway. But I know it's Korean. That doesn't
Korean,
help.
Korean and it's a zombie movie.
Yeah. Well, not a zombie, is infected.
Korean, so it was pretty interesting movie. You're not. Oh no, that's Mimic. I'm thinking of Mimic. No. Infected movie. Not The Medium.
No.
No wait, that one. Yeah. Yeah, that was Korean, I believe. No, that wasn't Korean. That was Taiwan. Okay, well, why are you looking for that? So, we're going to change topic for a minute, then movies and stuff for a second. So, and we're going to go back to the video game realm. Another video game that I'm actually looking forward to, which actually comes out a few days after my birthday this year, we will finally see the sequel for A Plague Tale. The first one was called...
Really?
Yep. The first one is called A Plague Tale Innocence. Now we're going to see the sequel, finally, which is called A Plague Tale Requiem, which comes out October 18th. 2022.
Oh, that's nice. And of course, my wife would play it because she got the game. She got the game. I said, okay, get this game. This is good, good. She was looking for a game. I said, get this one. She had it for breakfast. Put it like that. Like 2 days later, I'm like, why are you not playing a game? Oh, I finished it. How the hell did you finish that shit? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that game was really good at grabbing your attention and just keeping it. Yes. Your attention span is what I should probably say. Like, it really made you get hooked to, you want to know what the next, you know, what comes next. What's the next part of the story? Because you do feel bad for the little boy with how he's going through and then everything else. And I don't know if I should go into some spoiler territory, but I mean, just in case for some reason whoever's listening hadn't gotten a chance to play the first one, but I would totally recommend A Plague Tale. You will not regret it. But yeah, I am looking forward to the sequel. The only downside though is that A Plague Tale Requiem is only coming out for next generation console, so that means it will not even be coming to PS4.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they invested all that time to chop the gaming community in half, pretty much.
Yeah, basically. They basically wanted you to go out and get the next big thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but before I forget, so the sequel does take place right after the first game and continues it. So I definitely can't wait to see what they bring to the table now for Requiem.
Damn. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
When the price goes down. Oh, here goes. The name of the movie, The Sadness.
The Sadness. That does ring a bell to me.
Now that's pretty good.
What's the synopsis for that one?
Okay, let me search that one up. Where are we going here? IMDb. Exactly, right?
It's all good.
A young couple trying to reunite amid a city ravaged by plague that turns its victims into deranged, bloodthirsty sadists.
Okay. That does sound interesting. I'm gonna have to look up a trailer now for this.
Oh yeah, it's good. It's the gore factor alone is worthy.
Well, that's good. That's very good. Speaking of gore, I'm gonna dive into a quick movie that is kind of getting shit on right now, and that is the brand new Jurassic World Dominion. And that's kind of saddened me because I like those films. However, especially with the new film bringing back three old characters that we all love from Jurassic Park, and it seems like the movie is shit. So that kind of makes me iffy a little bit. However, I still want to see it just because it is Jurassic World.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it too, just because of that. I lost track of the storyline, to be honest. I just go watch it done, but it reminds me of, it's so generic. This happens in the beginning. This happens at the end. In the middle, the end, they gotta run away. The dinosaurs go on the loose. Oh my gosh, the dinosaurs are on the loose. We gotta run. It's the same thing. It's just like a Marvel movie. That last 30 minutes, everybody's fighting and this and that. It's like, all right, I've seen this before. Come on.
Every ending has to have a T-Rex do something.
Exactly. It's either a T-Rex or it's a genetically modified big dinosaur.
Yep.
It's cliched.
Oh, yeah.
It's cliched. But we keep going for it.
And I think it's because of the dinosaurs.
It's the dinosaurs. Honestly,
it really is.
It's the dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
They're the stars of the show.
Oh, God, yeah. And besides the three characters that came back to replay their role for Jurassic World, which makes me wonder how they did that. So, like I said, I'm going to have to figure that out, though, when I get to it. But eventually, I do want to get to it. So, one day. So, finally for me, for the last thing that I want to talk about is, so as a kid, we all had our TV shows that we just grew up with. And to this day, we kind of miss. And an example would be like Goosebumps. We all should remember Goosebumps back in the day, the TV show, how much fun that was. And then we ended up getting the VHS tapes of these TV shows, but it was almost like they edited them into it being like a movie instead of like cutting it out to where the commercials would be. But they sort of kept that aspect anyway. But anyway, one of the old one of the old TV shows I used to watch, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Now, in case for some reason you're still in the Dark Ages and you haven't heard, Are You Afraid of the Dark has came back as a mini series event, as they call it, and they've already done two new mini series events. One involved a circus man. And the second one is The Curse of the Shadows. And finally, today, they announced they're going to have Chapter 3 of the miniseries events of Are You Afraid of the Dark? And this one is known as Ghost Island. Ghost Island is going to be the premiere episode with the title The Tale of Room 13 and The Tale of the Teen Spirit, where four best friends get more than they bargained for and encounter genuine terror locked away in one of the rooms after checking into a hotel on a resort island. Then, as the kids try to enjoy a summer vacation, they are pulled back into the mystery of the island's ghost, ultimately leading them to a terrifying and shocking revelation. And this will be available on July 30th for the first episode, which will be a 2-hour premiere debut episode of this. And then the next episode will arrive on Saturday, August 6th, and ending the third episode on August 13th.
Interesting.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to that because honestly, I am liking the new approach of Are You Afraid of the Dark? I don't mind it at all. No, it does not really beat the original, but I just like the fact that they're actually making good content for this. And it works. And if you want to check it out for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, well, guess what? Best news I can give you is go to youtube.com, and if you type in Are You Afraid of the Dark 2019, and then if you type in Are You Afraid of the Dark Curse of the Shadows, both volumes 1 and 2, I'll say, for episode 1, are actually free to watch on YouTube. Now that is how you market the series. And you grab the attention by just showing the full first episode, which makes you want to go find a way to watch the remaining episode without having to wait for it to come out on DVD.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, that's a good little pitch right there. Yeah.
Yeah,
I am going to shock you. I have not seen that.
That doesn't surprise me. Honestly, I doesn't surprise me that most people haven't seen it. It's because originally, Are You Afraid of the Dark was supposed to be a movie. Nickelodeon was making a Are You Afraid of the Dark movie.
Right.
And right. Then they decided, instead of a movie, we'd just make a miniseries, which honestly, so much better. I think I like that idea.
Right.
Because I think you get 3 episodes for each chapter, as they call this. But you get more for your buck, as I may say. So 3 episodes, which to say 45 minutes each. What is that? Like almost 2 hours, I think.
Yeah.
A little more over than 2 hours. So that's really damn good. That's pretty damn good.
Cool. Well, I'm gonna close out my commentary with two things. One, you mentioned nostalgic TV shows. One TV show that I used to watch was Tales from the Dark Side. That thing used to freak me out. Freak me out. Especially that ending when they showed that and that tree at the end. That thing freaked me out. They should do a remake of that. bring it back, because they did with the Twilight Zone. Why not with that? Two, one show that really caught my attention is called Evil. E-V-I-L. Evil. It's on season 3 right now. So it started out on Channel 2. And me watching anything from Channel 2, that's like, no. But the concept was interesting. Let me check it out. All right. Ooh, this is really good. Okay. Then season 2, I guess the content was too crazy. So they moved it over to the streaming service.
I watched
season
2.
It got weirder than season 1. I'm like, oh, okay. So now season 3 started 2 weeks ago, last week. I was like, wow, it's insane. The concepts that they come up with. Basically, it's the good versus evil with some humor and also some skepticism. So you have a team that's trying to find out if demons exist in whatever case they're investigating, whether it's a murder case or an orphan. They want to find out if demons were involved. So you have the skeptic, you have the psychologist, and you have the priest. And each of them try to solve the crime or whatever the case may be. It's a good series, actually. But just wanted to throw that one out there. Whoever have not seen it, it's worth a watch.
Well, there you go. I think between Ken and I, we should have a pretty good width of things to come and things that are out now to check out for your viewing or gaming pleasure. And I say maybe next time we can do another one for what we have on our radar, so we can kind of keep you all informed as well. Because it sounds like Ken wasn't even aware with some of the stuff that I had mentioned that were actually coming out. So that's good.
Yes.
Well, Ken,
and that's how we learn.
I was going to say, and Ken, like, usually you're the one that's like, oh, did you hear this is coming out? That's coming out. So it's kind of weird that it kind of feels like the roles have been reversed, if I may say.
Yes, they have, to be honest. And that's my part. I've been inside my office just creating stuff and enjoying that aspect, and of course real life scenarios, that I haven't been focused not 100% into horror. I would say 50%, 60% around there, but don't worry, I'm gonna catch up with the upcoming episodes. I may surprise you with some new content that you haven't heard of.
Oh, well, that'll be good, because I can't wait to have more to my list, I guess. All right, Ken. Well, thank you so much for your time and everything. And speaking of which, you have been doing some Twitter spaces and stuff like that. So where can people kind of keep up to date with your project that you've got going on? I know you mentioned your 3D art and stuff, and you're also working on an MMA project. So where can people keep up to date with you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. Twitter's the best platform. I'm on there practically 24/7. And you could find me at Mecha X Studios. That's the Twitter handle. That's MECAEX. Studios. Once again, MECAEX Studios. That's my Twitter handle. And yeah, I've got a lot of stuff in the works. So the MMA artwork that you mentioned, that's one of them. I have something else in the works. It's top secret. I'll be revealing that in the fourth quarter of this year. Perhaps the end of the third quarter, still working on it. Is, yeah. All I can say, it's horror oriented.
Well, there you go, everybody. And as always, you can always check out the website, ehpodcast.com, for all your viewing pleasure of whatever the hell you want to look up. basically would our old reviews, interviews that we've done, and our podcasts and everything else. There's quite a bit on there that you guys can look at for sure to see what we've been into and up to and who we talk with. Kind of like the latest interview that I had the pleasure of talking with Steve French. You may know Steve French from the narrator of the Unsolved Mystery Podcast. So if you have not checked that out, check it out. And until next time, people, you all have to stay scared.